We get it. You're busy. You want to grow, and we want to help. You're passionate about your craft because it deeply matters to you. Your faith is important. It's your foundation. At Stayforth, we coach leaders to avoid burnout, live and lead with clarity, purpose, and from a place of health. We want you to experience long-term impact. Welcome to the journey. Well, friends, if we haven't met, I want to formally introduce myself. My name is Alan Briggs, and I love to help leaders get healthy and reach sustainable impact. What I've found is that when leaders get healthy, then they can create healthy change, which trickles down and creates a healthy culture around them. And it's no secret to anybody watching or listening that that's often not normal today. At least the stories we hear of carnage in leadership cultures, toxic leadership, people leaving organizations and having the scars to prove it behind them, we hear way too much of. And I am burdened by the state of leaders. This is a unique moment to begin listening or watching this podcast because this is launch time. And so to timestamp this, we are in April of 2023. And this is a book called Anti-Burnout, A Lighter Way to Live and Lead in a Heavy World that is just coming out. So whether you're listening to this far into the future or right here this week, this is a message that's been collecting in me for a long time, for about 13 years, actually, of coaching, 5 years of those full-time, thousands of hours now spent with leaders, pulling out the greatness through leadership coaching, and also helping to shape them and form them to be able to live and lead healthy. We don't want leaders that just perform well at work and then dump all of their exhaustion and overwhelm and stress on their families. And we also believe that when you get healthy, you can actually lead with greater impact. And so my heart behind this book, I want to come out during this series right now. So we've got a four-part series for you. And during this time, I'm going to walk you through the various aspects of the book. We're going to do some fun things, some interactive things. And in the next episode, you'll hear from some other folks that'll flip the mic. They'll interview me on some different things, and then we'll actually bring this in for a landing. So during these 4 weeks, we want to give you the foundation of this book, Anti-Burnout. But during this, I would just encourage you, go grab the book. It's on Amazon, hardcover, paperback, ebook, and Audible. And the reason why I want you to listen to this is not because I want to sell a bunch of books. It's actually because I believe that these principles that have transformed many other people can transform you, that these tools could be incredibly helpful, that a couple of these practices that you'll hear in week four of this series are actually going to rub off on you a little bit, and you're going to go, I could do that. That could be helpful for me. You're going to spark some new things. You're going to get some fresh new ideas from this, and I am borrowing concepts from some of the best leaders out there, and I am sharing practices that I've heard from others and that I've tried out myself. But here's what I can promise you. This stuff comes straight from real life. This stuff comes from the last 5 years full-time and 13 years part-time of coaching leaders. And these are some of the best questions that I've learned or stumbled upon. These are some of the tools that are currently helping leaders. So this is not an idea. This is not a pie in the sky. This is actually an anti-burnout process that we have developed here at Stayforth. And I've watched so many leaders light up. As we get into the middle parts of the book, I'll share some of the shifts that you'll need to make. I'll share some of the obstacles that actually have opportunities on the other side of them. But I have to say, the goal of this first episode and of the beginning of the book is actually to paint a very realistic picture of what's going on. And so we start with, what is the problem? And we are facing a burnout epidemic. And so I want to start with that. But before I talk culturally, I want to talk personally. Why? Why did I write this book? Well, I have always loved the energy and the potential of working with people who are visionaries and activators, people that see the future, who are entrepreneurial. They ask why not, they don't ask why. They are ready to disrupt something, to start something, to change something, to transform something. Those are my people. I fit in that space and I'm drawn to those people. But here's the challenge. Is that many times those people are only thinking about launch, they're not thinking about longevity. And as I began coaching leaders And I was doing this in the context of ministry leaders and pastors who were launching new churches or launching new ministries. Then I found the same thing when I went over to the business space, and I found that business leaders were launching this thing and trying to grow at large, trying to provide for their family, trying to expand their team, trying to grow their revenue. And I started to find the exact same things and realize this is not just a Christian issue. This is not just a pastor issue. This is not just a ministry leader issue. This is not even a top-tier leadership issue. This is a human issue. That is that we have a deformed view of work, of rest, and of meaning. Let me say that again. We have a deformed view of work, of rest, and of meaning. And we are trying to put all the weight in our lives, or much of it, on what we produce at work. And that simply is going to end in disappointment, in overwhelm, in exhaustion, in stress, in anxiety, and potentially even in burnout. And so as we walk through this burnout epidemic culturally, I have watched this unfold from the inside with leaders, talking one-on-one with leaders, again, thousands of hours in one-on-one coaching sessions, cohorts that I've led, cohorts that I've been part of, mastermind groups that I'm part of as a participant, experiences that I've led up in the mountains and in beautiful places, around dinner tables, over coffee, and around campfires. And I hear the same things. And so I just have this message in my bones that I just need to continue to share. And so we're going to jump around during this series, and I'm going to share again from some personal things, cultural things. I'm going to read some quotes out of the book. And then at the very end of each episode, we're actually going to give you an audio excerpt from a different section of the book. So we hope that this invites you into the message, but I wanted to make sure that I share first that not only do I love to work with entrepreneurs, not only am I a coach, not only do I serve business leaders and ministry leaders, nonprofit leaders, community leaders, I love to serve catalytic leaders that have the ability to create change in other people. Because when they change, then this ripple effect happens and everyone has influence. But catalytic leaders have an excessive amount of influence that can cascade down and create healthy cultures around them. And that's what I want to see. That's what I'm about. That's what fires me up, is systemic change, cultures changing over time, and ultimately being healthy and whole. And we need more healthy and whole leaders. I am a dad of four kids, ages 10, 12, 15, and 20. My kids are awesome, but they need a lot of attention, just like your kids. My wife is amazing, and she's full-time. She serves in foster care. She leads a foster care agency. I have a couple of different businesses going on, and there is plenty to do every week. But the lie is that there's not enough time to do the thing that you want to do. And just like culturally, we are plagued with this wrong belief, this lie that your life's always going to be slammed full and needs to be if you're a leader. You're always going to be busy. In fact, too busy. You can never get to everything. And friends, if we start with that lie, we will continue to live into it. If you are going to advance on this, to make a move against actually resisting burnout, you're going to have to confront the lie underneath work, underneath rest, and underneath fulfillment or meaning. Work, rest, and meaning. And these things, to me, friends, if we can peel the lie away, which I try to do early in the book, to say that this is not working. It's not working right now. We are in a burnout epidemic. We are also in a loneliness epidemic right now. Things are off culturally. And so personally, I've seen that overlap in my own life. And I share plenty of those moments throughout the book, those times when I've run too fast, when I've traded being effective for being efficient, and I've accidentally run over people in the meantime, and I've had to learn a different way to lead. That is a lighter way to lead. And I do believe, my friends, that that is possible. And as I watched this, I was developing leaders, and then I spent a season coaching church planters, and then I moved into, you know, kind of activists, community leaders, entrepreneurs, all those people built with new ideas. Again, those same threads emerged, is that we are running too fast, too hard, taking on too many things, and we are living unboundaried lives, limitless lives, and eventually that catches up with us. And I started to watch that happen within our culture. Now, culturally, what's going on? Well, as I peered at that from the outside and then got to see that from the inside, again, we launch well, but we don't do longevity well in our country. It's just not something we're wired for here in the West. And so this kind of scary jump that I made to go full time and to say, I am going to commit my best hours, my best energy to helping leaders to get healthy. I thought it was career suicide. And I thought, who wants to grow in this area? Who wants to learn in this area? Who wants to invest time and money and energy to be able to actually become healthy? And then COVID hit and we realized that we're all a hot mess. We realized that we all have unhealthy parts of our life and certainly of our leadership. And I began to look underneath the hood of my own life and other leaders more and more and found this burnout thing everywhere. Everywhere. And so I want to read you a couple definitions. And these are actually early in the book. I share these in the first part of the book. The word burnout was actually coined in 1975. And I want to read that definition. A state of mental and physical exhaustion caused by one's professional life. So that's where it starts, the professional life. And then again, it filters down or it funnels down. It cascades down from there. Other experts have described it as emotional exhaustion, the fatigue that comes from caring too much for too long. Some have called it compassion fatigue. Some call it voluntary exploitation. So those are not good. That's what the experts say. But it's interesting, a few years ago, I actually put this message out there for some friends who had wrestled with burnout at one time or another. And the definitions they came back with were terrifying. They were helpful. I thought they were so good. I put them here in the book. But honestly, they are scary. Listen to what some of my friends said burnout was like. Running at 8,000 RPMs with no true sense of any measurable progress. Ice skating uphill. Doubting every move I made. Numb. A complete lack of care that I no longer really care. Drowning. Wow. I mean, the implications of this are huge, friends, is that once a leader is burned out, it takes a serious, serious recovery time, many times years of healing along the way. And what we want to do at Stay Forth, what I want to do as a coach and here as an author, what I want to do as a speaker is actually to go upstream and ask, what if we could stay healthy before we got unhealthy? What if we, instead of having people in hospitals as coaches, could actually be coaches who are looking ahead and putting people in health clubs to create healthy rhythms in their lives? And guys, here's the clarion call. I believe this. We desperately need healthy women and men shaping the future who leverage their influence to serve others, not themselves. To serve others, not ourselves. That is the call here, is for a type of servant leadership where we can give ourselves away. But friends, if we are burned out, we cannot give ourselves away. We have so little to give. You can only give what you've got. And that is my message in this first part of the book, is that we have a serious issue and we need to address it. It doesn't do any good to dance around it and to act like that pink elephant is not sitting there in the corner staring right back at us. Friends, we have an issue, and that's the issue we start the book with right there. Whether you come from a space of leading a whole organization, leading a team, leading a family, or just being active in your community, friends, you are at risk of burnout. I am at risk of burnout. We need to be careful. And we proceed with caution. We realize this is an issue. And I want to share a couple of kind of reminders for you that will be helpful as we enter into the content portion of this, where I'll read from the book. We have a cultural problem, and it's coming for all of us. This is a cultural problem. It's coming for everyone. It isn't just the medical industry. It isn't just education. It isn't just pastors. It isn't just entrepreneurs. It isn't just CEOs of large companies. Friends, it's coming for us all, and we must resist. Guys, passively floating through our culture does not work. People are coming for our time and for our attention. And friends, it is worth fighting upstream and uphill for health. I promise you that. But here's the beauty, is once we uncover rhythms, we can actually have these what I call $10 habits that become $10,000 investments. $10 habits that become $10,000 investments, kind of like James Clear in his book, Atomic Habits, is once we can learn these habits for raising the things that fill us, lowering the things that drain us, we actually get to watch this beautiful flywheel spin. And I've watched it with so many leaders. I've watched it in my own life. And we all get tired at times, friends. But if we can put habits in our lives and that we can have places to come back to realize it is worth doing the small things to continue to not just stay healthy for ourselves, but so we can nourish those around us, be active in our community. We can actually enjoy our time off. We can have riverbanks between our work and our family time and our hobbies and our time with friends so that it's not all a swamp of work-like activities. The second reminder here is our culture is living on a default mode of full and busy. Our culture lives on this default mode, full and busy. If you ask anybody, how are you? I bet you 8 out of 10 will say busy. How's your schedule? Full. As long as our lives are busy and our schedules are full, then we are going to accidentally drift toward burnout. Guys, here's the kicker, especially if we're full and busy, is that as we're heading toward burnout, we are sometimes the last ones to see it. Other people may be able to see the dysfunction in us, and it's hard for us. The more tired we get, the harder it is to spot, right? It's a vicious cycle. And yet, if we can continue to stay healthy, work through some of these tools and some of these questions here in the book, staying self-aware, staying in community enough, we can actually identify this before it becomes a major problem. And friends, please hear me saying this. You can shift the fullness of your life and you can downshift. You can shift the busyness in your life and yet you can actually move to a realistic pace. You can have priorities that deeply matter to you. Friends and hobbies and family and community and things outside of work. Work to many has become a secular religion of the day and we must push and resist against that. We are used to saying yes and yet there's this beautiful word of no that we can resist. The last reminder I want to give you is that we live in an age of high change and high fear. There is so much change happening right now, way more than we realize. And there is so much fear that we're living in right now. The amount of change that we are facing technologically, that we are chasing even in our communication outlets, and the way that people can get access to us as leaders, the constraints we have on our lives, maybe the limitations that leadership gives us, or at least the expectations people have of us. Guys, we are facing a lot of change. And change always involves pain, even if it involves freshness. Secondly, we live in a fearful age. Some are calling it the age of outrage. And outrage comes from fear below it all. And especially as we head into this election season and things are heating up culturally, I want to remind you that we can stay grounded. We can lead healthy. And this election season does not have to be divisive for you like it can be for so many. And so with those reminders that I'm just sort of ending this time with, I want to leave you with this, is that my desire is for you to live healthy and whole so that you can nourish other people around you to be healthy and whole. And here is what I think is so cool, is that when we get healthy, we actually can accomplish more impact. It feels like we have to choose between those. And what I say is health first and then impact. Get healthy, then reach that sustainable long-term, that longevity impact that just keeps giving over the years. And I invite you in this first part of the book and in this episode to really think through not only what burnout is and why it matters, but actually how we could begin to turn the tide. And in the next 2 or 3 episodes, I'm going to give you some very tangible, very practical ways to turn the tide. But friends, please realize we do have a burnout epidemic on our hands. And during this reading, I'm going to give you a little bit of the why this matters culturally and what burnout truly is. I want to paint a picture of this. Friends, welcome to the Anti-Burnout series here on Stay Forth Leadership Podcast. We want you to live and lead in a way that is lighter, even in our heavy world. So hope you enjoy these excerpts of the book, and we'll catch you on the next 3 episodes of this ongoing series on anti-burnout. We're in the midst of a burnout epidemic. You can find it in every industry, sector, and age group. I'm not trying to be negative, only to paint a realistic picture of what we're facing. Burnout is real. Burnout is dangerous. Burnout is widespread. We must be aware of it for ourselves, those we love, and those we work with, so we can make adjustments. The bad news? Burnout is stealthy. It sneaks up on us. The good news? When watching for burnout, we can take action against it. After years of watching burnout pop up in conversations in nearly every field and group I worked with, I felt compelled to make a shift to focus on health in addition to impact. This book has sprouted directly from that commitment. In the course of a 3-year period, I watched leaders who I thought were burning bright make sudden decisions to quit, relocate across the country, and take shelter for healing. What's going on? I wondered. As I met with and coached leaders in different fields, I saw the same thing everywhere. Burnout isn't just coming for founders and entrepreneurs, it's coming for everyone. You either know someone who's burned out, or you are that person. A few years ago, I got to lead a group coaching experience with faith and community leaders in Ecuador. On the long flight, I wondered, will they be able to relate, or is this just another American issue? We began our gathering by gauging their level of tiredness. Much to my surprise, they seemed to wrestle with the expectations to care for families, communities, and congregations even more than we do in the West. Their fatigue levels were high, and they were constantly leaving the room to make calls. I was speaking through a translator, and she wrestled for the right words to describe burnout. A man came up to the translator and whispered the word fundido to her. The translation? An engine that seizes up from running hot with no oil. Nailed it. I couldn't understand most of their discussion and banter, but one discussion got heated. A younger leader called an older leader to the carpet for his statement, "We'll rest when we're dead. Our communities need us." The younger leader quipped back, "If you do not rest, you will be dead." Touché. The Korean language now has its own word for working yourself to death. Gwarosa. Alex Payne reports that Koreans now work more hours per year than almost any other country in the world. Suicide rates have tripled since 1990. In his book, Burnout Society, researcher Byung Chul Han shares the widespread effects of burnout. He says 21st century society is no longer a disciplinary society, but rather an achievement society. The society of laboring and achievement is not a free society. It generates new constraints. It leads to a society of work in which the master himself has become a laboring slave. The achievement subject is simultaneously perpetrator and victim, master and slave. It's not just something that's done to us, but many times we allow it, even perpetrate it. Burnout is particularly common among high achievers. Teachers and university professors have been hit hard. Over 50% of medical professionals live close to burnout. Pastors have felt increased expectations over the last decade to care for communities while providing excellent gatherings live streamed to the world. Entrepreneurs feel the deep weight of risk and failure, especially during unsteady markets. Young companies normalize the pressure of their work as they joke about riding the rocket of exponential growth. Sounds painful. Research seems to show that burnout is becoming particularly hard and stealthy for women, who often bear more relational responsibility in their homes than men. Many parents even report parental burnout for increased expectations to get their kids involved in everything under the sun. Before we talk about a lighter way to live and lead, we must clearly define what we're actually talking about. The term burnout was formally introduced to the world by psychologist Herbert Freudenberger in 1975. He defined burnout as a state of mental and physical exhaustion caused by one's professional life. It had three defining factors. Emotional exhaustion, the fatigue that comes from caring too much for too long. Depersonalization, the depletion of empathy, caring, and compassion. Decreased sense of accomplishment, an unconquerable sense of futility. Sound familiar? Here are some other clinical definitions of burnout from experts. A response to the chronic emotional strain of dealing extensively with other human beings, particularly when they are troubled and having problems. A syndrome of emotional exhaustion and cynicism that occurs in individuals who do people work of some kind. A chronic state of feeling overworked, overwhelmed, and exhausted. Voluntary self-exploitation. That's what the experts say. But how do normal humans describe burnout? I ask a group of friends who have experienced burnout, what did burnout feel like? Emptier than empty. Running at 8,000 RPMs with no true sense of any measurable progress. Freezer burn. Loss of quality, flavor, and nutrients. Full, yet completely empty. Doubting every move I made. Depleted mentally and emotionally, unable to recharge. Ice skating uphill. Numb. A complete lack of care that I no longer really care. Drowning. The pain of knowing you will never be able to get ahead. Spiritually and emotionally fried to a crisp. Trying to run through quicksand blindfolded. Overwhelm followed by anxiety, depression, and guilt. Trying to run through an ocean of molasses. Burnout can be easily misunderstood. Here's what we're not talking about when we describe burnout. Burnout is not just physical tiredness, although that's one symptom. Grief, although unrealized grief can perpetuate it. Inevitable, but it doesn't have to be this way. Sacrifice, although unmeasured, unwise sacrifice can be part of it. Sudden, although it can feel like it. Failure, although it can slow us down. Easy to notice in ourselves. Others can see it far easier than we can. The end, although it may feel like it. Dr. Wes Beavis describes the burnout risk zone using the following equation. Dealing with people plus being responsible for favorable outcomes equals burnout risk zone. This equation puts all leaders in or near the risk zone. Inherently, leaders are responsible not only for their results, but for others' results. Seth Godin says, if you are using outcomes that are out of your control as fuel for your work, it's inevitable that you will burn out because it's not fuel you can replenish. The challenge is real for leaders, and none of us is immune. We cannot give what we do not have. Trying to give others what we do not possess ourselves will empty us. Giving what we do not have is not generosity, it's stealing. When we do this, we are the perpetrator and the victim. The preparation, training for health. Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Abraham Lincoln. A friend introduced me to a leader he admired. Who was growing the company. He thought our organizations could partner together to serve more leaders. From my first conversation with Todd, I could tell he was driven and innovative with serious business acumen. His team was growing and he was hiring quickly. We discussed a potential partnership. He promised to get back with me on a few ideas. Not only did he not get back with me, but he ghosted me. Months later, our mutual friend told me he was in town for meetings and I should join them for a drink. That evening, he apologized for not getting back with me, and I observed him making big promises and bragging about big contracts. He assured me we would reconnect, but he ghosted me again. About 18 months later, I got a desperate text from him requesting an emergency coaching session. His life and business had fallen apart. He needed help sorting out the wreckage. We don't need more stories like Todd's. How many times do we have to watch the same worn-out story? A brilliant leader that people follow wholeheartedly drifts from their integrity, hurts people they love, and leaves a wake of destruction. A great company with great products who employed great people simply couldn't maintain the success because they became unhealthy. Scandals broke, money was misused, promises weren't kept. This can happen to us if we ignore personal and organizational health. Yes, any of us. Somehow, health feels too simple, too elementary. Leading can feel weighty. You're already climbing a mountain, and people add baggage to your pack. Sometimes the weight on leaders' shoulders feels too much to bear. Leadership is a serious climb that impacts us and many around us. We must fight for a lighter way to live and lead. Before we push on, take a moment to pause and reflect. What feels heavy right now? the expectations others have of you, the reality that you're putting your family on the back burner, the pressure of hitting your goals, the shame from not hitting last year's goals, the multiple responsibilities you're juggling in your role, the gnawing feeling that you're doing too much.